Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. With us, we have, we're expecting two Ringlites. We have one of them with us today, and they both recently traveled to Wisconsin for a canine search and rescue training. We have Steve Prezunka with us, and we're waiting for Anna Allen and her...
I hope Anna's listening. You're tardy, Anna. Get here. Come on. TikTok.
Yeah, there's a glass of water waiting for her here.
Yes, and she's supposed to bring Seeger the dog, too, so everybody's waiting.
Yes, but we'll just start right now.
Sounds good.
With you. Okay, and so all of them participated in the training. So we're going to learn about the training and what was involved and what's involved with canine search and rescue. So you can call in to ask a question or make a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. So, hi, Steve.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us down today.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. I'm really excited to learn more and hear what you guys have to say about the whole training and, you know, your experience. So, you are a volunteer firefighter?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Do you want to just introduce yourself to Ringle? I'm sure Ringle knows you.
Well, I'm Steve Prezunka, and I've been on the fire department, I think, for 27 or 28 years. And about 10 years ago, we worked with a search dog out of Sitka, and I was really impressed with what that search dog could do. And so I inquired about getting a search dog for the fire department, and we went through the process of getting our first search dog, who is Katilly and is now retired. She's 11 now. And so we sort of slowly built up our program. And the first, we had Lauren Cook join up with his dog Aspen. And then my wife Lynn took over our dog Sage. And then Anna joined up and her dog Seeger. And then I've just brought on my new dog, Kodiak, who is our my new main dog, because Katilly is kind of getting old and tired, like
yeah.
me.
How old is Katilly?
Katilly's 11 years old now, going to be 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is...
She's slow. She did come out on the slide last year, and she did work the slide, and she sort of came to life again when she got out there and started working. It was neat to watch, but she just doesn't move as quickly. But I think her soul is still in it for sure, but she's a wonderful dog.
And you trained her as a puppy?
Yeah, I got her when she was, I think, 5 months old. And then I flew back to Sitka pretty regularly. I think I was going twice a month for a while. To train with their team, because we didn't have a team. I was it, and I didn't really know what was going on. So, hey, there's Anna.
Hi.
We're on air.
And Seeger's with us.
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear Seeger talking. Or not talking.
Clicking on the nails.
The clicking, the tapping.
Hey,
yeah. Hi, Seeger. Hi, how old is Seeger?
He is 2 years old.
Okay, great. Yeah. Awesome. Anna, can you just introduce yourself to the mic?
So my name is Anna Allen. I am a part of the Volunteer Wrangell Fire Department and also our canine search and rescue team. And I have a 2-year-old black lab named Seeger.
Oh, and he's a cutie. So how old was Seeger when you started training him?
So I had originally gotten Seeger to be a duck hunting dog. And I wasn't really part of the canine search and rescue team yet. Come to find out, he's a horrible, horrible duck retriever, even though that is what he's bred to do. He is not good at it at all and hates water. So did not work out. So at probably about like 6 months, I reached out to Steve and I was like, hey, I have this dog. I want him to do something. I want him to work. That's kind of why I got him. And he was like, well, just come start training with us and see how he does. And he just like caught onto it instantly and like loves finding people. And so we've been doing it for about a year and a half now.
Wow.
And he's an all-star.
I just have to say, when you said he's a horrible duck hunter, I think that's what he's
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
He started wagging his tail.
Yeah, he knows. He got out of having to be out in the weather for the most part.
Yeah. Okay, so back in early September, you all ventured out to Wisconsin for the training. Steve, you had Kodiak and Sage. And then Anna, you, of course, had Seeger. Those were the only three dogs that.
No, that we actually had. Lauren Cook brought his dog, and that was Lava. And then Lynn brought Sage, her dog. And so we all met up in Wisconsin. I actually drove across with two of the dogs and did kind of a road trip across with my dogs, which was fun. And then we all met up in Wisconsin and did the program. And it's a neat program because it's one of the few places you can go to a seminar for dogs, and they do all the disciplines at the one seminar. So Anna did area search, which is live find area search. Lauren did intermediate human remains detection. I did advanced human remains detection. And Lynn did water human remains detection. So we were all in different classes with our dogs, but it's just... they attract some of the best instructors, I think, quite frankly, in the nation.
And oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're just, it's just a really well-run program. Anna was the boat most likely to succeed, I think. Wasn't that what you got? What did you get? It was,
pretty much, like I was a rock star is what it was. No, they had a very, very nice name and way to put it. But you get, in each class, you get your instructors vote on who they want to put in for this
It's an award.
Award, yeah. Yeah, an award. And so I got nominated for it. I did not receive it, but I did get nominated for it. And just having that opportunity to be there and to get to learn from these people was enough for me. Like, it was incredible. It was an awesome trip, and I want to go every year.
What was the award? You know, what was the nominee?
They do this where they have a scholarship, and so in each class, the instructors put a name for it. And then they actually, it's not that Anna didn't win. It was actually just total chance.
Yeah.
They draw one name out. And unfortunately, it wasn't Anna's name. But she would have got free tuition next year, which is relatively sizable. And we pay our own tuition. That's, I think, $500 or $600. And so they basically offset the cost for one of the students the following year.
That's amazing. And how much is the training?
Well, so I think it's $600 for and it doesn't matter whether you're in beginner or advanced. It's the same price. And then they kind of offset the costs for us by having us stay at a camp. It's like a summer camp, so they have dormitories, and it really does. And then we eat at the camp food, and so it reduces our costs there because we don't have to get hotels, but it does. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'll just mention. The dog team, we've always tried to not be a burden to the fire department because it's one of the few things where it's very expensive. An average dog, I think, probably easily is $20,000 to operational.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get 10 years out of your dog, that's pretty good return. It's $2,000 a year. But it is $20,000 over the course of the lifetime. And so we wind up as handlers paying a lot of our own expenses, and we've done some fundraising in the past, and the Wrangell Cooperative Association has been incredibly supportive of the dog program here in town, so as well as the Stikeen Sportsmen and the Wrangell Firefighters Association, and our search and rescue team has been, they've just, like, we're members of the search and rescue team, but they've really supported us in this pursuit.
Yeah, and when you say 20,000, that's for the whole lifespan?
Yeah,
so
that's over the cost of a search dog, I would estimate that I was probably more when I first started out because I had to fly to Sitka on my own dime to train. So I was doing that twice a month, and then I was going out to more conferences, but now we sort of have more internal knowledge to help ourselves along. But yeah, and you have to go out for specialized training. You can't. Because with human remains, we need human remains to train on. So we have to go places where they bring in human remains to train because you can't fly with cadaver parts. So we have to go places to do that training.
That's really fascinating. Where in Wisconsin were you?
Rochelt. Yeah, however you say it.
We debated how you say it. I think it's Rochelt.
I don't know. I heard some Wisconsinians say it the way that I'm saying it. So
I think they've been drinking,
wrong.
Anna.
maybe.
That's what was going on there.
And so with the water search and rescue, were you on Lake Michigan? No,
there was a little lake at the camp.
Lions Lake, actually. Lions Lake because it was at a Lions Club camp.
Yeah.
So they have boats set up specially for the dogs to work off of. They take the source, which is a piece of human tissue, and that's submerged in the water. And then the dogs work to find where that submerged tissue is. And there's a process to teaching a dog to work in water. We have probably 3 operational dogs right now for water. But it's a whole different world for the dogs because they can't. The boat has to go where the source is. They can't. So the handler has to watch for cues from the dog on the boat and then tell the driver to go left, go right, slow down, stop. And then the dog eventually narrows you in to where the source is coming up.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And impressive. Remind me, which classes or, you know, trainings did each of you take?
So me and Seeger did our area find. So that's the live find. We're searching for missing people that are presumed still alive. And so we're going to go clear an area pretty much.
Okay. And that could be really like anywhere, any type of land.
Yes. Yeah. Land mostly.
Yep. Yeah. And then Lauren and I did human remains detection. And so that was on land. And the intermediate course was like burials and folks, you know, who may have died in a forest. Dog goes out and finds them in the forest. For my course, I did a lot more crime scene investigation work with the dog. So we would go into a house and they would like have blood splatters that you couldn't see on a wall, and the dog had to find those blood splatters. And then out in a field, they'd throw a knife out into the middle of the field with a bit of blood on it, and your dog had to find the knife. And then one of the ones was they took human blood and serum, like body fluids, and poured it down a drain, then poured bleach on top of the drain to get like as if somebody had tried to clean up the crime scene, and then your dog had to go in and hit on the drain to find those things. So they tried to fool us with that. And then Lynn did intermediate water with her dog, and they did some land work first because it was sort of a reintroduction to the dogs to water, and then they went out on the boats and did, because water's also working from the shore. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to work from the shore, work from a boat, work from a dock, so wherever the body might be in the water.
Wow. How long was the training for?
I think it was about 4 days total, not including travel to get there and then to get back home. I think we're gone for probably about 10 days with, at least I was. I didn't have to go drive across the country. But flying there, getting there, it was about 10 days. And then the course itself was about 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And so on Facebook, Steve, I saw on your Facebook, you took some pictures of your trip and you said you had tickets for Kodiak and Sage. Were they with you on the plane?
Yeah. So I flew them down in their kennels. And that was my one dog kennels up really nicely. My other dog took myself and Michelle from TSA to cram my dog into its kennel. It was not happy about that. But we did get him into I did fly with the 2 dogs down to Portland and then drove across from Portland with them.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if they like were with you like on the plane, but they were underneath.
So we have a policy about that. We don't fly with our dogs up top. A lot of search teams do fly with their dogs up top. And we decided a long time ago that our dogs are safer in their kennels down below. And it's more comfortable for everybody around you just to have a great... My dogs are huge. And so we decided to sort of make that our policy, that dogs go down below in kennels. And then you have your kennel with you because you need a kennel wherever you go. So you've got to have a kennel anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's Wrangle Search and Rescue, Canine Search and Rescue, yeah?
It's Wrangle Search. We're just Wrangle Search and Rescue. We're just the dog people.
Yeah, the crazy dog people.
The crazy dog people. We just, but, you know, the dogs are just one element, and I just want to hit on this really quickly. Wrangell Search and Rescue is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And the resources that we have in this community, I go to other communities all the time. You will not see resources like we have in other communities. The community bought us two brand new thermal imaging mm-hmm. drones after the slide. Those are incredible. And I know Chief Buness, Jordan Buness, has been getting that all set up and ready to go. And we just have an incredible search and rescue team here. And the dogs are one element. Mm-hmm. And we're just sort of a support to all the other aspects of the search and rescue team.
How many dogs are in Wrangell Search and Rescue?
We have six in total.
Almost seven?
Yeah, because I don't know if the new dog counts quite yet, but yeah.
The new dog. He's the new dog.
Lauren collects dogs, so he's got another dog that he just
collector.
Brought home.
Yeah.
But I would say that we have four solid operational dogs.
And then there's four humans.
Four humans, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And people ask all the time, like, can I come train my dog? And the answer is because we are the fire department, you have to join the fire department to run a dog. And if you're running a dog, you need to do the fire, the EMS, and the search and mm-hmm. rescue. We don't stand alone like a lot of communities. So mm-hmm. you got to do it all.
Yeah.
And then absolutely you can join the team and start training the dog.
Yeah. Anna, how long have you been in the fire department?
I think I'm coming up on 3 years now with
okay.
being a part of the fire department.
And then Seeger, how long has he been a search and rescue?
For training wise, for about a year and a half. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So beginning training, what entails for a new dog, you know, a dog to just begin training? How long and what is it?
So in the beginning, when they're puppies, we try to make it really fun and really like solidify that this is a fun game. And that's what we started doing with Seeger, and he, you know, was spastic crazy, loved it. And then it's pretty much like you're almost playing like hide and go seek with them. A very easy game of hide and go seek. Like they can see where you're going and they just run and find you pretty much. And then you have these big old puppy parties is what we call them. So you just like ecstatic, joyful, like it's the best thing ever, and it just like really gears them up to where they just want to do that all the time, right? So anytime they find a person, it's going to be a big party. So once they get that down, after a while we start to make it a little bit longer, a little bit more difficult, not too difficult, and kind of expand from there. And you're always watching your dog and you're always making sure that your dog is responding and reacting the right way. Like if it seems like it's getting too difficult for them, you reel it back, right? You don't want to ever make it discouraging to where now they don't want to play this game anymore. I don't know if Steve wants to add on to that, but that's pretty much the beginning stage of it.
The first person they find is their handler. So you actually swap.
Yeah.
So basically I would hold Seeger and Anna would run away and Seeger would go get Anna. So the first person they find is their owner, their handler. And then you switch it up to somebody new and unique, and then you build on it. But she's exactly right. It's got to be fun. The dogs, like somebody once told me that the dogs, that, you know, when they were searching in Ground Zero, got depressed because there were so many bodies. No, they don't get depressed. They get, like when they make a find, it is the biggest party ever.
Oh, yeah.
And so you reward them for the find, and they want that, whatever it is. Like we use a lot of toys for our dogs, their toy drive. And so they get their toy, they get to play, it's interactive, mm-hmm. it's tug or whatever. So mm-hmm. they live to make that find. That's all they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell me, what has the evolution been like? You know, you see your dogs evolve into, from the puppy parties to a more advanced level of search and rescue. What, will you talk about that a little bit?
It's honestly, to see them go from like, cool, woohoo, we're having puppy parties, this is so exciting, to actually watching them find their first hider, where you're like, okay, this person's out hiding, I don't really know where they're at, but since I've worked and trained with my dog for so long, I now feel comfortable and confident enough that they can go find this person. To watch them go from, yeah, the puppy party to then now they're finding people is almost like, it's like chilling. Like you get goosebumps because you're like, I've worked so hard, I've trained so hard, my dog has worked so hard, and now we're finding people. Like they can do that. And that's, I'm getting chills now, like thinking about it, you know, like it's so incredible. I think a lot of times we think that, like, oh, we have these dogs and these pets, and they're wonderful pets, but, like, they're capable of so much more than we give them credit.
Yeah, and I always am, like, black magic. Every time I just find myself go, wow. Like, and it's, as they get more complex, the situations and the problems, I'm amazed how to watch, sit back, and we all do this. We can watch the dog sort it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dog works through the problem. And if the breeze is blowing the wrong way, they'll circle around, mm-hmm. they'll work back through the cone, and they work it out. And the handler's job, really, our job is to keep our dog safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two is to get the dog into downwind and working into the scent. That's mm-hmm. our job. And make sure that we cover the area that we're, but the dog is working the rest out. And they're independent of us. They're not asking us for help. They basically are working independently. Yep.
I noticed there's definitely a big difference between, Seager, he's dual. He does search and rescue, but he's also my household pet, and he's spoiled a lot. But there's a big difference between them being our pets and them getting to work. And it's like this switch just goes off on them. Like, you put their vest on, they have their bells on, and all of a sudden they're just in go work mode, and there's a big switch. And I think that is my most favorite part that I see in my dog, is he can be goofy, he can be happy, he can be fun, and then all of a sudden when it's go time and it's work time, that's the mode that he's in, and he's not stopping until he gets his reward or he finds that person, right?
Yeah, wow. I know you did the landslide. Did Seager do the landslide too?
Seager, he was still pretty new in his training, and so we collectively figured it would be too much too fast, and also with this how sensitive it was, we didn't want to put new dogs in there when, you know, we're really trying to help out and solve these problems, right? And so we collectively figured that Seager, you know, he was out there, he was around it, but we weren't using it as a training opportunity, really, or to send him out there, just because he was too young for that.
Yeah. Has he participated in any live search and rescues
so far? No. Which is nice, because it means that, you know, there's nobody missing, right? But I feel very confident in my dog now, to where I would feel comfortable sending him out to look for somebody.
Yeah. And so you said, Anna, you said that you're going to do a training every year, right?
Yeah.
Steve, have you done trainings every year too?
Yeah, I've done that training, I think, 8 or 9 times. And then I've been to Texas, to the Texas Body Farm, multiple times to train on whole bodies. And then other trainings around the nation. And in Alaska, too. I've flown around quite a bit for trainings in Alaska.
He's our guru.
Yeah. I'm old. That's all that means.
I said it nicely.
It's just absolutely amazing to, like, learn about search and rescue and the dogs and hear what you guys have to say, you know, about, you know, you can tell when they're in work mode. And yeah. So what's the next training that you all are thinking of putting your dogs in?
Well, we're kind of in a point now with the team where we're looking at doing a few things a bit differently, and we're still sorting out whether all the dogs are going to be cross-trained. And there's some wisdom in not having all the dogs cross-trained. So my dog does human remains and live find. And so right now, Anna, we're sort of holding off introducing Seager to human remains till we make the decision, because it's good to have just live find dogs too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did do a seminar here. We brought in a trainer in April, I believe it was.
Yeah, around then.
We did a landslide workshop for dog teams from around the region that came out. And we actually worked the slide to do a final clearing of the slide area to see if we could find the little boy that was still missing. And we had a trainer come up from down south for that one. Usually there's other communities have trainings that we try to go to if we can. But right now, I think for sure we'll be back at CSAR next year.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to do cross training, like for Seeger, we'll try to get Seeger down to Texas to do the whole body. Like it's a, they call them body farms, but it's an anthropological research laboratory that's on like two sections of land. And they basically are looking at crime scene investigation and decomposition of human bodies. And the dogs are allowed to come in and work that area like three times a year. So dogs from all over the world come to do this. And it's an opportunity for the dogs to really hone their skills. And I think I've been three times, and Lynn's been, and I think Lauren's been as well. But it's a really good program. So we may look at trying to do that to get out for it, but it is costly to get to Texas and to do that one.
Yeah, wow. I do have a question. Just, you know, you mentioned the body farms and then the blood. Is there a point, you know, in decomposition, or like, you know, how long can like blood stay on, you know, wherever it is for a dog to
The last training I did in Texas, they had bones that were dated at 3,000 years old or something, and the dogs were hitting on them.
Oh my God.
So tissue is tissue, and they won't hit on animal bones. Mm-hmm. They only hit on human bones. They're trained to ignore everything else. So the decomposition process varies for all kinds of reasons. Temperature. So in Alaska, we have a longer time for bodies to come back up that have drowned because our water's colder. But in the lower 48, they come up a lot quicker. And so that all affects how long. But the dogs make finds that, they'll reopen cold cases that are 20 or 30 years mm-hmm. old. And they'll get new information, and dogs will go into the forest and find human remains 30 years later. Mm-hmm. So, and graves, historical graves, they use dogs for historical graves as well. And we had actually looked at doing clearing the institute site. That was one of our options at the time, was to bring in historical remains dogs to see if there was any graves at the institute site. We wound up not doing that, but that was one of our options.
Wow. Okay. So there is there are dogs for specifically for historical remains.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, the historical remains. They had us work a grave, and my dog was horrible at it. And one of the problems is that the dogs, because there's usually markers there, so my dog got really good at finding gravestones. That's what I determined. My dog wasn't really finding anything but gravestones. So the historical remains, it's a really specific thing, and they train for this in very specific ways, and it's a real niche thing. It's not something I've spent much time on worrying about, because it's not, you don't get much call for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. We have like about a minute and a half left. I'm curious, can you just talk about, you know, what inspired both of you to go into search and rescue for canines?
Well, so I with already being on the volunteer fire department, it like really makes you want to be a part of the community, help people, right? And so I already had that drive kind of like, I just want to do everything that I can to help the people in my community. And then I had this dog that, you know, I wanted to train for something, and I knew that Steve had his search and rescue dogs, and I was like, well, that's helping the community even more, and I get to be with my dog and I get to work with my dog. And so, yeah, reaching out to Steve and getting started in that kind of set all that in stone. And now it's like, I can't really imagine myself doing anything else other than canine search and rescue, like training and working with my dog, because it's been so beneficial for both myself and my dog.
Yeah, it's awesome. What about you, Steve?
Well, sure, in a nutshell, what Anna said about serving the community, that's, you know, my family has a strong service belief. And you know, my dream is that my dog goes and reunites somebody with their family mm-hmm. that's alive. That's my dream. And I haven't had that yet, but, you know, there's people go 30-year careers and never make a live find. Mm-hmm. So I hope someday that I can do that. But if you don't train and you're not ready, you'll never have the chance to do it. So if we can bring one person back, that's makes it all worthwhile for us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you. And on a lighter note, I just want to on your Facebook, Steve, on your road trip back,
yeah,
your dog Kodiak ate a whole pup cup.
Yeah, that was not a good thing.
Was he okay?
Well, he's still alive. He's in the truck. We're going to go training next. So, yeah, he was fine. The dummy.
Was it a paper cup as well?
We determined that it was like the cup was biodegradable, so I felt a little bit better about him consuming the entire cup, which was just like, well, he's a golden retriever.
I was going to say, what do you expect?
Golden retrievers. Yeah, yeah, no. Nobody
great.
Said they were smart.
Yeah.
They're hard workers.
and they love food.
They love food, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us, me, and the rest of the community.
We really appreciate it. And we appreciate the community's support at the fire department.
Yeah.
We know that the community is behind us out there and all that we're doing, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so that was Steve Prasanka and Anna Allen talking about the canine search and rescue. We are now going to hop on into World Cafe.